Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by the infamous Kent Steinbeck. And we're coming to you from Herb's House Coffee here in Dallas, Texas. It's an iconic coffee shop where a lot of great ministry takes place. We kind of hang out here a lot.
Absolutely.
Kent, I've grown to love this place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And today we have a devotion. It's called Repent or Else. So, Kent, we're going to be playing big boy football here today.
All right.
Okay. This isn't touch football. And it's a hard-hitting message. It's in Revelation 2, verse 16. Revelation 2, verse 16. And Jesus is addressing the church at Pergamum. He has commended them in verse 13 for what good they are doing. But in verse 14 and 15, he's had to confront them and correct them. And so now verse 16 follows. What should be their response? So he says in verse 16, therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Kent, this is a bona fide threat from the Lord Jesus Christ to this church. Jesus is not meek and lowly here. He's not lowly and gentle here. He is declaring war on the church at Pergamum if they do not get their act together, if they do not repent and deal with sin in the camp and follow the word of God. So I want us to look at this, and this is a very strong message that Jesus has for this church. And it's a message that really fits many, many churches today. So he begins with, he says, repent or else. Whew. The word repent here literally means a change of mind. But when we see the whole of Scripture, we see it's more than just a change of mind. It's a change of heart and a change of will. It's really a turning of the entire person, mind, affections, and will, away from sin to Jesus Christ and the pursuit of godliness and holiness. And so repent is this call for repentance. It's a call for decisive action. It is a dramatic call for a radical repentance to confess this sin and to turn away from it and to be brokenhearted and to be grieved that you have tolerated this sin in your midst. There cannot be a casual spirit about this, but there it should really cut to the bone deep within. And then he threatens and says, or else. And we'd say, what is the or else? And Jesus says, I'm coming to you quickly. And that's not referring to the second coming of Christ. That is referring to a divine intervention into the life and the affairs of this church. And as he comes, again, he's not coming in a gentle manner. He says, I will make war with them. Can you imagine this, Kent? Jesus making war, not just declaring war, but making war and entering into battle and conflict with his own church because they have allowed their church to compromise and to be corrupted. And now for carnality to begin to infiltrate into the life of this church. He says, I will make war against them. And then he says, with the sword of my mouth. He's not coming with a butter knife. He's not coming with a Q-tip. He's not coming with a feather. He's coming with a sharp, two-edged sword. And he identified himself in verse 12 as the one who has the sharp, two-edged sword. And in the first century, there were two kinds of sword. One was be like a small dagger that you would keep on your belt that you could pull out in very close combat with someone. or there was the large broadsword that you'd have to hold with two hands that could really just sever someone's head. It's that second sword that Jesus mentions here. I'm coming with a broadsword that will wield devastation to the life of this church if they don't repent and deal with it. So, Kent, strong message from a strong Savior. And how many churches today need to heed the message that Jesus has here to repent or else?
Wow. The Lord, the church is so much more important to Him than we ever imagined, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm just convicted because a lot of us fall into, well, I'm going to go to this church because I love the singing, or my kids have great friends there, or, you know, it's close to my house, and if I get good teaching, I'll just listen to it somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
Do we do that?
Yeah.
And so how convicting is that for us not to take the church seriously if our Lord is taking it serious? I mean, what should that tell us then if we're going because it's in the neighborhood or we like the music? What does that mean to us and what the Lord thinks about that?
Well, you need to be careful what church you join. Can you imagine joining this church and then the next day Jesus, with divine intervention, shows up and makes war with that church, and you go, "Hey, I just got here."
But for whatever reason, it's close to the house, or my, you know, it's got a great youth program.
It's got a bowling alley, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So this is serious.
This is very serious, and it really begins with the sound doctrine that comes from this church,
right?
And how high they exalt Christ and Him crucified,
right?
And the purity of the gospel.
So, Steve, when we're seeing what the Lord has against this church, what you're saying is, I think you're saying this, is that the Lord wants His word held up. He wants His glory held up.
Yeah.
And when anything comes in front of that, whether it's the, I think you're saying this, whether it's the charisma of the preacher or the beauty even of the music or all these things. I mean, I can't tell you how many people say, "I just love the music. I go there for the music." And there's no teaching.
Yeah.
Is that what our Lord's talking about?
That would be one application of that.
What would be another application?
Another application would be, we go there because of the youth ministry. And so you go down as a parent to the youth ministry and you find out, I mean, this is just a social club. The Word of God's not being taught. It's just a gathering place for my children's friends. Well, they need to have friends, but more than having friends, they need to be under the straightforward teaching of the Word of God. And so sometimes people choose a church, you know, for that reason, just to keep peace at home, and the kid doesn't want to go where the Bible is being taught. Well, as long as you're under my roof, you're going to be going to church where your family's going to church. That's another example. Or, my grandparents went to church here. And so because our family has a longstanding relationship with this church, we want to continue to go to this church. Or we really love the architecture of this church. It's just such a beautiful place. I feel God when I'm inside this church. Well, that's not the reason to go to a church. I'm all for good-looking architecture, but you'd rather be in the catacombs of Rome underground with true believers and the word being preached than to be in some spectacular building that in reality is just a spiritual mausoleum.
Right. So Steve, we just mentioned we miss how important the church is to the Lord. We know He died for the church. Practically speaking, why is it important for us saved sinners to go to a good church and to be in a good church? What does it do? Why does the Lord want that for us? And why is it so important?
I can't grow spiritually in a bad church. I can only grow to the maximum development where the church is solid in the Word, where I have fellowship with other people around me who are equally committed to strong teaching of the Word of God and a place where I can serve the Lord, but also where the worship is not trivialized, where it's not entertainment that's put in front of me, but that actually we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, that it's only the truth of God's Word that is being sung, that it's the substance of the music, not the style of the music, that is predominant. And so that's why we need to be in a healthy local church, because my very spiritual growth and development is dependent upon it.
Well, I know we're out of time, but I got to ask one more question.
Yeah.
I have some friends, they're Christians, and they say, you know, we don't go to church because all bad, and they're all terrible, and we're just going to stay home and have home church.
Well, I would call into question whether they're truly Christian or not.
Because the Lord wants us to be together.
If you're a true Christian, you're going to love what Christ loves, right? And Christ loves His church.
Yes.
And Christ loves He loves the people for whom He laid down His life. And if you don't love church, and if you don't love other believers, that tells me you love yourself.
We have to be together, don't we?
We have to be together. And I just think you have a greater love for yourself.
Yeah.
And you lack self-awareness.
That's
as
good.
If you are so spiritual that you're too good to rub shoulders with other believers. I think you need a spiritual checkup and get back into a local church where the Word of God is preached and where you rub shoulders with and have fellowship with other like-minded people. And if you can't find a church like that, then get in your car and drive and find one, or then move to another city. But you've got your priorities upside down. Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of Steadfast Hope. And as Kent has helped us see, it's very important where you go to church. It is a leading factor in your own spiritual life. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.